Most of you here this morning has been to services many times. You know what it means when the preacher takes his watch off and puts it down on the pulpit? Usually nothing. We all think he's going to quit on time, but I read that in one of my little readings this week. I thought that was pretty good because that's usually what it means. Usually that's the person that likes to use every minute of his time, and that's good. Nico read the 23rd Psalm there, and that song that Mike just led, "If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victory song at last." And that's the day we're all looking forward to, isn't it? The day that we'll see God, and we'll be judged on that day in the way that we've lived. And in the 23rd Psalm there, David's talking about God being seen as a caring shepherd and a dependable guide. And we must follow God and His commandments because He is the only hope for eternal life and security that we have. First verse there in describing the Lord as a shepherd, David wrote out of his own experience because he had been a shepherd boy in his early years. So he knew what it was to be a shepherd. And he talks about sheep here that are completely dependable on the shepherd. The New Testament calls Jesus the Good Shepherd, John 10 and 11. The Great Shepherd, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. And the Chief Shepherd, 1 Peter 5 and 4. As the Lord is the Good Shepherd, and we are His sheep, we need to obey the Shepherd, listen for His voice, and do the things that He wants us to do. Not talking to us as animals here in this situation, but obedient followers, wise enough to follow the one who wants to lead us and guide us in the right places and in the right ways. I think it's important. We hear this psalm so many times in our life and so many times at funerals we hear this. And it was mentioned just a week or so ago in the Wednesday evening class. Dave talked about it a little bit. But this is a very encouraging to me and strengthening psalm. And we talked about reading psalms and focusing on them when we have our down times. But when we allow God to be our shepherd and our guide, we have contentment. And that's the key to this life, I think. If we choose to sin, however, we go the opposite way and it leads us in the path of destruction. And we kind of wonder why we got in that situation. It's usually because we erred from not following our perfect and good shepherd. We rebelled against him and chose to take another path in our life. But death casts a frightening shadow over us because we are entirely helpless in its presence. We can struggle with our other enemies like pain, suffering, disease, injury, but strength and courage cannot overcome death. It has the final word. It is the final say. Only one person can walk us through death's dark valley and bring us safely to the other side. And that would be the God of life, our shepherd, as the 23rd Psalm here talks about. Because life is uncertain, we should follow the shepherd who offers us eternal confidence that we can have that home with him in heaven. I just thought that was a good opening for my lesson this morning. And what I'd like to talk about is God enough for us in our life. Think about what is overwhelming us today. What are our thoughts? What is our direction of our thoughts? Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." Do we sometimes, I know we do, feel like we've got more than we can handle? Our schedule is so tied up we need 30 or 40 hours in a day. It just feels like we're stuck in the mud and can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Demands and stresses of life can easily overwhelm many of us, but they are no match for the risen Son of God. When we go to Him, we have enough to get us through. I think about people that get into bad habits and they say they have to hit the bottom before they can actually start living the true life again. They have to be down and out and lose almost everything they have. I read a story about a lady that was incarcerated in prison. She suffered all kinds of atrocities. She watched her sister die. She watched her father die. And she asked the question, how can we know God is enough unless we get into a situation where we have nothing left but God? I think that's the situation a lot of people get into and they turn to God. And that person is usually a very strong Christian and very strong individual and truly does follow God. Again, what are we facing right now in our life? I want you to think about this and take heart. God intends to walk you through that situation if God is in your life. He intends to walk you through that dark valley and bring you up to the top of the hill again. Just as Psalms 23 says that He will bring us to eternal life in that final day. That is our hope. And that is our confidence in Him. When we look to God, then we realize that God was there all the time understanding our problems. But hopefully it made us stronger for walking through that and depending on God to get us through. The thing I thought about in this lesson was, I don't like to be led by my moods. And we all get in those moods and we don't like to see somebody when they're having a bad mood. But we need to be led by the truth of God. What God wants us to believe in. Do you have more than you can handle right now? We need to focus on God and all God is and put our needs and our trust in His capable hands. Do you believe He's enough for what you face today? We hear many situations in life that are more than we like to deal with, but if we trust God to help us deal with them, it will help us through that situation much easier. I had a story about this lady that didn't bring it, so I'm going to try to go through it. She got up in the morning, Christian lady, very devoted to her husband and him to her. There was a note on the table that invited her to meet him for lunch. And so she was very happy, joyful, going through the day thinking about that situation through the morning. She decided, well, Ben's here so nice, she'd stop and buy a little present for him to present to him at the luncheon. And so when she stopped to buy the present, she realized she didn't have her cell phone. So she thought, well, it's no big deal. I'll be with my husband in a minute. And I don't really need a cell phone in that situation. She gets to the place where they was going to meet for lunch, and her husband didn't show up. And then she sat there for a while. By and by, it was like 30 minutes, and she decided, well, she'd call the work and place and find out. Well, when she called the workplace, she was transferred to the boss, and he told her that her husband had been killed in the car accident. You think of that lady in that situation. How hard would that be to walk through that? How many of your friends could help you through that situation? To me, it would be one of the most difficult situations that we could face in our life, to find out that at about the same time she was buying that present for her husband, he was in a terrible car wreck and got killed. Proverbs 18 and 10 tells us, God is a strong tower. God is our protector. Not mile after mile, but trial after trial. Moment after moment, hour after hour, circumstances after circumstances, surgery after surgery, disappointments after disappointments. God is a strong tower. He is faithful and He is trustworthy. If you read through the pages of history recorded in the scriptures, you see many times where God's faithful hand saved His people. We look at Joseph, we look at Job, we look at Noah, we look at Moses, on and on. Just the very name of God emulates strength. It is in His name that we have power, victory, faith, hope, and love. The Lord is a mighty tower where His people can run for safety. Do we run to God to find safety? Oftentimes we look instead to things or people to sedate our anxieties. Today, when we find ourselves becoming anxious about the cares of life, we need to run to God. We need to depend on Him. Don't wait. Don't walk. Run to your Heavenly Father, because He waits with open arms to give you that safety and comfort that you so desire in that situation. God is your protector. God is your strong tower, trial after trial. The next time you start to worry, don't run to your friends or some other diversion. Instead, run to God and ask Him for help. And you'll be surprised probably how that situation turns out, because God is helping you through it. Thank God there's nothing you face without Him. Thank Him for His love and thank Him for His protection. We see many examples in the Bible of people running to God in times of distress. We think about a giant situation. Think about Goliath. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let him fight. Let us fight each other." What do you think these people thought? This giant standing there making this observation of these people. Well, it says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all of Israel were dismayed and terrified. To me, they knew God was on their side, but we know how that situation turned out, don't we? The shepherd boy David took on the giant and killed him. God created you and me to come overcome the same situations. He created us to overcome our greatest enemies. And the greatest enemy most of us have is ourself. Ourself. That is our greatest enemy, I think, sometimes. Through God, all things are possible for those who believe. We all have giants in our life, but the positive message of the Bible tells us that we can overcome the giants in our life, and it begins when we determine that the purpose of our life is to glorify God. Mike mentioned that last week in his lesson. What is our purpose on life? Why did God create us? To serve Him, to glorify Him, to praise Him. That's what God created us for. Think about the giants in your life. Either you have faced a giant, or you are facing a giant, or you will face a giant. Or you might face all three of these. When David focused on God, the giant fell. He overcame the giant. Goliath still roams in our world today. You think about these. Debt, disaster, dialysis, divorce, deceit, disease, depression. These supersized challenges come into our lives, pilfering our sleep, embezzling our peace, and robbing us of our joy. And God wants us to be a joyful individual. And while these giants try to dominate our life, we know what to do. We've learned what David learned, and we do what David did. We take on this giant, and we pray and put our trust in God. We become focused on God and know that God is going to help us through that situation. We need to keep our focus on God and not on self or any other person. But as I was putting these thoughts together, I thought, it's kind of hard to put our focus on God if we just do it in the times when we face the giants. We need God in our life continually, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We need to be praising God, praying to Him, asking for guidance, asking for direction, help to guide our life in the way that we need to go. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her young son into bed. She was about to turn the light off when he asked in a trembling voice, "Mama, will you stay with me all night?" Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence followed. At last, it was broken by a shaky voice saying, "The big sissy." And that's kind of the way, it's kind of cute the way kids think, isn't it? Who hasn't questioned God in the middle of a storm? The disciples did. The disciples woke up Jesus in the storm. And they woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Can you imagine being out on the ocean and that giant-sized ship being tossed all about? And these individuals were fearful for their life. And you probably can't blame them, but they forgot who was in that ship with them. Christ was in that ship with them. This is written in Mark 4:38. And what did Christ do? Christ arose and calmed the storm. And it amazed them individuals. It amazed them apostles that this took place. We've all asked at one time or another, "God, don't you care?" We know that He does, but sometimes it seems as though He's distant and we're battered by a raging storm. The problem that we're having just don't seem to go away. But we need to know that God is there. God is beside us. I love that poem about the two footprints in the sand and turns into one. And the guy questioned God why there was only one set of footprints when He said He'd be with him all the time. God said, "That's when I carried you." So it's amazing that we think in these terrible times we forget to rely that God is in our midst all the time. We know that God loves us more deeply than we can ever know. It's obvious by what we just celebrated here, the Lord's table. His Son gave His life. That's how much God loves us. We need never forget that. We need to honor God for the way He loves us. It's not a question of whether we will be confronted with storms or not, but rather how much we face, how and when we will face adversity. As someone with hope and faith in an all-powerful God, we can have that assurance that God is there. Jesus never promised that we'd have an easy life, but He did promise that He would be with us always, even unto the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. If we believe that God is the one who is, who always was, and who still is to come, the Almighty One, the one who is, the one who always was, the one who is still to come, and the Almighty One, Revelations 1:8. Ultimately, what do we have to fear? What do we have to worry about? What do we have to destroy our life? We may not be all-knowing like God is, but because of Jesus' death on the cross for our salvation, we can be assured that no matter what temporary storms we face, that our place with God in eternity is assured. God will deliver what He's promised, that eternal life with Him in heaven. Psalms 27:1-5. Pam, I think, had this in a bulletin a while back. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek the most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in His sanctuary, and He will place me out of reach on a high rock." Again, that's Psalms 27:1-5. Where do we place our strength today? Do we place our strength in those around us? Put our total dependence on them? We need to depend on God. I was just thinking here in closing, and Romans 8th chapter, which we're studying in our adult class, it says, Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." He doesn't always promise us a perfect life. He doesn't promise us a trouble-free life. But He does promise us that He'll walk with us no matter what the problems, the trials, as long as we're dependent on God and putting our trust in Him. If you're outside of Jesus Christ today, think about God gave His Son on the cross to die a cruel death, that we all have hope in that eternal life, and that we can have forgiveness. I always think about a lot of people outside of the church. They usually tell church people, "Well, you guys think you're better than everybody else because you go to church." That's not true. The truth is, we can be forgiven, and the truth is, we know God, and we know what He promises, and we put our trust and our faith in Him. And you know what? What they say can't hurt us as long as we put our trust in God. But if you're outside of Jesus today and you want to start a new life, you want to walk that path, be baptized, we offer you that opportunity, or whatever your needs be this morning. If you have needs that the church can help you with, We ask you to come as we stand and sing our closing hymn.